Hello, everyone. As we know, today is Tzom Gedalia, the fast of Gedalia. Someone lost the page here, or someone only has the top page. I figured that the story of Gedalia might not be well known. So I figured that we just quickly read the story and see if we can. It spans over two parakim, two chapters. I took out a lot of stuff in the middle that didn't really matter. Left the Hebrew in case you wanted. Some of it is important, but that's the ones I bolded. But I figured if I just left bolded words, it wouldn't make sense, which is why the source sheet is longer. We're just going to read it in English really quick. So just that way we understand the story. Okay, so who wants to read from Yirmiyahu chapter 40 in English? Okay, Razi, thank you for volunteering because it's your birthday.
40.
Maybe not for a recording. Just the first paragraph, yeah.
The word that came to Jeremiah from God after he removed Sarajan, the chief of the guards, set him free at Ramah to which he had taken him, chained the fetters among those who were in Judah, who were being exiled to Babylon.
Okay, pause here for a second. Let me just set the scene. The scene is that right after the destruction of the temple, everyone was most of the Jews were exiled out of Israel to Babylonia. Okay? So that's where we are right now. And all of a sudden, Yirmiyahu has this prophecy from God. Yirmiyahu is actually set free from this guy, Nebuzaradan. Okay, yes, continue. And then we skip to verse 13 because the middle didn't matter as much.
Yochanan, son of Berea, and all the army officers in the open country came to Gedalia at Mizpah and said to him, "Do you know that King Balas of Ammon has sent Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, to kill you?" But Gedalia, son of Achikam, would not believe him.
Okay, sorry. I didn't realize I took out the most important part, is that this guy Gedalia... What? This guy Gedalia was made to be the king of those who were let back to Israel. So Babylonians let some Israelites back into Israel, and those who remained in Israel after the exile. And the Babylonians said, "Okay, Gedalia, you're going to be in charge of the people in Israel." So he's now, this guy Gedalia is the king in Israel of the Jews.
Between the first and second temple?
No, after the second.
I have a question. Why did they let Jews back into Israel?
They were nice. I think that the answer is that they probably didn't want to rule them. It was like annoying to have to rule another people, and also the Jews stir up trouble. So it's not something that you really like want to do. And there were some still in Israel. So he said, "Okay, do you know what? Let the Jews be like autonomous. It's not real autonomy because they kind of, I think, still had control of the province. Like they had the area, but they're like, okay, let them think that they have control, but like really like they're above vassal state, basically, yes." And I said Babylonians. I think maybe it's not the Babylonians. Maybe it's the Romans then.
I thought the Babylonians were the
first temple. Yeah, so maybe it's the Romans. Okay, let's go with that. Yes, Razi, go ahead.
Yochanan, son of Berea, also said secretly to Gedalia at Mizpah, "Let me go and strike down Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, and nobody else will know about it. Otherwise, he will kill you, and all the Judeans who have gathered about you will be dispersed, and the remnant of Judah will perish." But Gedalia, son of Achikam, answered Yochanan, son of Berea, "Do not do such a thing. What you are saying about Ishmael is not true."
Okay, so this guy Ishmael, he wants to go kill Gedalia, who's the king, and he says, he wants to go kill Gedalia. Gedalia is the king. Gedalia is like, "I don't believe you. I don't believe you." And then this guy Yochanan comes and says, "Do you know what? Let me just kill Yishmael. He goes to him privately and says, "Do you know what? I'll just kill Yishmael for you so that way you don't have a problem." Bye. What? Assassinate. You're about to be assassinated. I'm going to go kill the guy who's going to assassinate you so that way we don't have to worry about it. And Gedalia says, "It's not true. He's not going to murder me." Okay, good. Yes, we're all on the same page.
Wait, who's told Gedalia that somebody's going to murder him?
Yochanan.
And Yochanan heard this out?
He heard it through the grapevine. I don't know. He found out about it. Okay. We'll get back to the Hebrew is important, but most of the stuff that's in Hebrew that's Most of the stuff that's bolded is also bolded in the English. One or two are not. So we can just read the English for now. This is the next chapter. So that was the end of the chapter 40, and this is chapter 41 in Yirmiyahu. Go ahead, Josh.
Okay. In the seventh month, Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, son of Elishama, who was of royal descent and one of the king's commanders, came with 10 men to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, at Mitzvah. And they ate bread together there at Mitzvah. Then Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, and the 10 men who were with him, arose and struck down Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, son of Shaphan, with the sword, and killed him, because the king of Babylon had put him in charge of the land. Ishmael also killed all the Judeans who were with him, with Gedaliah and Mitzvah. Him is Gedaliah and Mitzvah. And the Chaldean soldiers were stationed. The second day after Gedaliah was killed, and no one else knew about it, some men from Shechem, Shiloh, and Samaria, 80 of them, their beards shaved, their garments torn, and their bodies gashed, carrying grain offerings and frankincense to present at the house of God. Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, went out to Mitzvah to meet them, weeping as he walked. And as he met them, he said, "Come to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam." And they came inside the town. Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, the men who were with him, slaughtered them and threw their bodies into the pit. But there were ten men among them who said to Ishmael, "Don't kill us, because store is hidden in the field of wheat, barley, oil, and honey." So he stopped them and not killed them, along with their fellows. In the pit in which Ishmael threw all the corpses of the men he had killed, in the burial of Gedaliah was one that King Asa had constructed on the account of King Asha of Israel.
Okay, then we skip 8 verses, and then... Right, so the remnants of the Jews after this episode that Gedaliah was murdered. So Gedaliah, right, so let's just give us a quick summary of this. Ishmael, this guy Ishmael, who is of royal descent, one of the king's commanders, came with 10 men. They had a meal with Gedaliah, and then he just murdered him. And at the meal, killed him by sword, because the king of Babylon had put him in charge. We are dealing with the Babylonians. Ishmael then killed all the other people that were with them. So he killed everyone, and now the Jews are left leaderless. So sometime later, you have these Zakanim, 80 Zakanim, who had come with their beards shaved, their garments torn, their bodies gashed. Basically, they are mourning the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So this is, Josh, this is the first Beis HaMikdash. So they're upset about the first Beis HaMikdash being destroyed. And they have no idea what's happening here. They come from these three different places, from Shiloh, from Shechem, and from Shomron. And they're carrying stuff to give to the Beis HaMikdash, because there's no Beis HaMikdash. And Ishmael met them crying and saying, like, "You have to come to Gedaliah to talk to him." And then Ishmael brought him to the town and then just murdered all the Zakanim also and then threw them in a pit. And then after, because they're leaderless, so they went down to Mitzrayim, and the Jews kind of were in Mitzrayim. So that's the story of Tzom Gedaliah. So it's interesting to note that if you look at the bolded words here, starting in the first one, there's only one bolded word there, and then you can see the rest of the bolded words in source number two. They should remind you very much of another story in the Torah. Does anybody have an idea what story that could be talking about? And Josh is smart and reading number three already. He's cheating spoilers. Are you reading two? Okay. No spoilers. Don't read three. Now you're looking. Okay, so I'll tell you. It should remind you very, very heavily of the story of Yosef and the brothers. So let's figure out. Josh got it 100%. So let's figure out how it relates to the story of Joseph. So most of us know the story of Joseph. The text is here for you if you want it in source number three. We're not going to read it because I think that most of you guys know the story of Joseph. But just to sum up, there were 11 brothers altogether. 10 of them, not Binyamin, all came together And we're like, we got to get rid of this guy who wants to be king over us, and got this colorful coat from our father. And they throw him into a pit, which is what we just saw, right? And they said, okay, we're going to leave him to die. And they took his coat and dipped it in blood, and brought it to his father. And what'd they say to their father? They kind of cried and they pretended that they were mourning over their brother's loss. But really, what did they do? They didn't leave him in the pit. They took him out from the pit and they sold him to Ishmaelim, who then sold them to, I mean, I think the Midianites in the middle there, but then sold them to Egypt. So if you look at the story, I mean, just basically, we already have five different parallels. First, you have the parallel of 10 men coming to gang up on one leader. 10 brothers ganging up on Joseph and 10 men ganging up on Gedaliah. The second one that we have is this guy Yishmael conspired to kill Gedaliah. And like we just said, Joseph was sold to the Ishmaelites. So we have this parallel of Yishmael. Then we have this this idea of being sold down to Egypt, Yosef ending up in Egypt, and these Jews' remnants going down to Egypt. But if you look even further, there are a few even stronger relations between these two texts. And that's as follows. If you look at source number one, there's only one highlight, one bolded word in source number one. It's the word tabachim. And if you look at the very end of source number three, can someone read to me the pasuk in Hebrew of source number three, please? But last pasuk in source three, lamed vav, in Hebrew. Okay, so he sold down, the Midianim sold Yosef down to Mitzrayim to this guy named Potiphar, who is the Sar HaTabachim, the literally the captain of the guard. If we look, Yishmael, what's his name? Nebuzaradan, who's this guy, right? He is the captain of the guards. We have this Sar HaTabachim, we have this, he's the Rav HaTabachim, Sar HaTabachim. We have this guy who's the captain of the guards, who is dealing in the story here. And not only that, we have over here in source number two, right, that this guy was, Yishmael was from the kingship. He's from Zer Melucha, he's the royal descent, one of the king's commanders, and he's being told basically, okay, like Gedaliah is being told this guy Yishmael is coming to have a meal with you, and he says, oh, well, it's the king's descendant, so maybe this would be good for the kingship, and he goes to break bread with him. The brothers also break bread both after the after this incident, as well as 3, 4, 5 prakim later, when they go down to Egypt, they're all breaking bread together in Egypt, the brothers with Yosef. And lastly, the last three words that I want to point, and then we have the pit connection, that they throw them into the pit. The last three words are standalone words, and I want to look at them. They're right here in the middle in source number two. It's the word hifkid uvocheh vayishchatein. Okay? Those are the three words I want to look at. Well, Vishchatem, I think I kind of hinted to already that they slaughtered a goat to dip Yosef's coat into. Here, they also slaughtered, Yishmael slaughtered all these other people, threw them into the pit. But it's weird that you use the word Vishchatem instead of Laharog, to kill. So that's that connection. But these two words, Yifkid and Vokhe, I just want to talk about for 1 second. Let's talk about the word Vokhe first. In Pasuk Vav, right in the middle, it says, let's read the English. 6. Yishmael, son of Netanya, went from Mitzpeh to meet them, weeping as he walked. Right? This guy, Yishmael, was not actually upset. He wasn't sad. He's crying because he has to put on a show. He's acting for these Zakenim, so that way he could trick them back to the town and murder them. So he's crying for basically no reason, just putting on an act, putting on a show. And the same thing is true about the brothers when they go to Yaakov. The brothers, after they sell and throw Yosef in the pit and then sell him, they dip his coat in blood to say, like, he's dead. And it says here, in... Thirty-one. Right, they took. This is in source number two. Then they took Joseph's tunic, slaughtered a kid, dipped the tunic in blood, and they had the ornamented tunic taken to their father. And they said, "We found this. Please examine it. Make sure it's your son's." And he recognized it. He said, "Oh, my son's tunic. A savage beast devoured him. Yosef was torn apart by a beast." And Yaakov tore his clothes, and all the sons and daughters went to go comfort him, but he refused, saying, "No, I will not go into mourning my son." And the father cried for him. But the brothers are basically putting on this show of, like, we're upset that our brother is no longer with us. So we have this connection as well. And lastly, this connection of the word hifkid. This is in number 2, verse 2, in source number 2, that says, right, the king of Babylon had put him in charge. Hifkid is like to put in charge. And that word appears in the Yosef story a number of times. And I brought just the three psukim that I could find that came up. So it's Breishit Lametet, Breishit Mem, and Mem Aleph. Literally three prakim in a row, which is just part of the Joseph story, which is Lamed Zion. So 37, and then we just skip to 39, 40, and 41. 38 is like the story with Yehuda and Tamar. We're not necessary to deal with it in this year. So, but if you just look at the text, in source number 4, Yosef found favor in his sight and served him. This is serving Potiphar. And Potiphar made him an overseer in his house. Vayifkadehu al beito. They put him in his hand. In chapter 40, source number 5, Vayifkod sarat habachim. The captain of the guard, right, this is Potiphar, charged Yosef with them. And he served them and they continued to seize in his custody. This is when he's in the jail, that he's put over in charge of the jail. And lastly, in source number 6, we see something similar. Yaseh paro vayefked pikidim al haret. And Yosef is interpreting Paro's dream and telling him, appoint officers over the land. So there's a lot of connections just in text. So the question is like, okay, it's really cute that there are connections in text and that's really nice, but like, what's the point? And I think the point is as follows, and I think it's a yesod into why we're fasting today and what we can take forward. We just spent, you know, as a kid we used to say, we just spent 2 days eating and therefore now we need like a break in eating and like regain like our composure, our calorie count, like all that type of stuff. So like we need a day off. Or I used to say also like a mini training for Yom Kippur, like fast like 12 hours and then you get the 25-hour ones a week later. But in the end of the day, we're fasting for like a real reason. So clearly, just in text, there's some textual clues. There's a connection to Yosef. So why would I suggest that there might be a connection, Yosef and some Gedalia or the murder of Gedalia? And I think it's as follows. Especially in today's climate, where people who are on opposing ends of the political spectrum basically can't sit together, can't have a conversation together. But oh, you believe that, and I believe this. I can't even talk to you. I can't even look at you. Now, in the end of the day, like Baruch Hashem, no one is like murdering their political rivals, like at least like around this table. Everyone just looked at Randy at the same time. We're not murdering our political rivals today, and we can actually sit with like luckily like we can at least. Like exist together, maybe not look or talk to people. Unfortunately, though, there is nowadays political rivals being assassinated, right? That's what happened with Yitzhak Rabin, that people didn't agree with him and he was murdered by other Jews who didn't agree with his political standing. There are, unfortunately, political assassinations. And I think that the message for us is, despite the fact that you might disagree, right, these 10 people who went with Gedalia, the 10 brothers who went with Yosef, we have to be able to coexist with each other. We have to be able to figure out how to live with each other. We just spent 2 days, Rosh Hashanah, davening that Hashem should be the king, right? But we also said, not only Malkeinu, but we also said Avinu, our father. And if we have a father, more likely than not, they're siblings. And in the end of the day, if God is our father, it means that the rest of the Jewish people are our siblings. The brothers in the Joseph story couldn't get along with their brother. The Jewish people couldn't get along. This was the story of Yishmael couldn't get along with his Jewish brethren. And he said, you know, I'm just going to assassinate you. And it led to the ultimate exile and the first time that we didn't have a full presence in an unstopping presence in Israel, basically. It was the first time ever that we didn't have a presence in Israel. We have to take the time to consider and you should take the day, hopefully, the message of the day also is that despite the fact that we might disagree with people, even very heavily, even to the point of like, I can't even break bread. I can't even sit with this person for a meal. I can't even talk to them. It's okay. It's okay to disagree, but you have to get along because the future of the Jewish people is ultimately dependent on it. If we can't get along with our fellow, if we can't figure out how to play nice, right, then that's it. The Jewish people are done. And that's the exile that and the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. If we can figure out how we can make up, how we can get together, how we can turn the other cheek despite our differences and despite what we disagree on, then we can come together for the ultimate redemption. Mehirah v'yameinu.